Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Tuesday, October 10th, a day that will live in fantasy football infamy. Major injuries being announced today, so let's dive into the waiver wire for this week. It is an important one with so many players banged up. I'm going to start at the top with several running backs and a wide receiver, all due to injury. Jeff Wilson Jr. will top the list. 20 to 25% on him. That's right. And you do have to know how your league bids, but he is fairly widely available and he is worth it. Devon Achane dealing with a knee issue that is going to sideline him for multiple weeks. He could potentially even end up on injured reserve. Wilson is supposed to open up his practice window, his 21-day practice window, which could get him back on the field this week. It would be him. And, of course, Raheem Mostert. And, honestly, there's enough meat on the bone there for Wilson to put up at least flex value, if not better. I know a lot of folks out there are banged up or just feeling uncomfortable at running back. Wilson could help you out. So could Roschon Johnson. I'm a little lighter on him, but 15 to 25% is not that much lighter. It's pretty close between the two of these guys. Yes, he is in concussion protocol, but he played on Thursday night. Gives him three extra days to clear protocol. Khalil Herbert suffered a high ankle sprain, slated to miss multiple weeks as well. Could land on injured reserve as well. And Roschon, not Deontay Foreman, has been the active running back the last several weeks. So he would be the preferred option for me. And then Amari DiMercato, I'm going 10 to 20% on him. A couple reasons. First, I mean, Wilson's on the more potent or the most potent offense of those three. Roschon Johnson is more talented than Amari DiMercato, but DiMercato will have a good opportunity here because James Conner dealing with a knee issue that could land him on injured reserve. Any of these moves, by the way, could happen by the time you listen to this podcast, but I'm kind of factoring that in already. Okay, so that is the preferred order. Wilson, Johnson, they're very close. DiMercato is a consolation prize, but not a bad one, 10 to 20%. I really like the kid. Solid player. You know, he was a backup to Kendre Miller at TCU, a backup for a reason, went undrafted for a reason, but he can be that Jag flex option. You know, Jag is just another guy. He could be that flex option because he's going to get a prime opportunity here with no James Conner. I'm going to go further down the depth chart here. Actually, really with all three of these teams, but those three players stand out. The other player who stands out is KJ Osborne. Justin Jefferson, we don't even have to wonder. He is on injured reserve with a hamstring injury. Not only that, but okay, injured reserve, it's a minimum of 4 games, not 4 weeks. Remember that. Sometimes people get it mixed up because of bye weeks. It is 4 games, okay? 4 games, not 4 weeks. However, Justin Jefferson, if this team is not in contention, and they don't look like they will be, what's the reason for him to rush back? So we could see an extended absence for Justin Jefferson here. This sucks. Plain sucks. I will go 10 to 20 on KJ Osborne. If I'm a Jefferson manager, and especially if I'm a Jefferson manager who can tuck him away on injured reserve, which I am in a couple leagues, I'm going to go pretty hard after KJ Osborne. I'll be at the top end of that range because he's essentially going to take that role. Now, the beneficiary here, number one is TJ Hockenson. Number two is Jordan Addison. Number three is Osborne. The good news, that team plays in a lot of higher scoring games. They are going to throw the ball around, so Osborne has some value. And remember, down the stretch last year, we saw a couple hundred yard games out of this dude. Okay, those are the big names, but there are still plenty of other names on the waiver wire this week. Joshua Palmer, 8 to 12%. A lot of times people will sort by projected fantasy points, and that means they filter out bye week guys. Palmer's out there in entirely too many leagues. It's worth checking to see if he's there. He is the number two wide receiver for that team now that Mike Williams obviously is out for the season. Jaleel McLaughlin, I was actually shocked at how widely available he is. I know he may not be available in your league, but he is available in a lot of leagues, 7 to 10%. Here's what I expect, because we'll see this on Thursday night. Javonte Williams, if he is back, I think we're looking at a committee. McLaughlin has played very well, 8.8 yards per carry, eighth among fantasy running backs in fantasy scoring over the last 2 weeks. So Genie's out of the bottle. Now, what does that mean here? I mean, honestly, the out of the three, Samaje Perine's the lowest in priority. But, I mean, I'm looking at this, and it's like McLaughlin could be a flex option. With his, he's got juice, man. This kid only needs 10 to 12 carries a game to put up fantasy, you know, solid fantasy numbers. So he should not be on waiver wires going forward. Josh Downs, 7 to 10%, coming off of a 97-yard performance on six catches. And honestly, they're going to throw a little bit more with Anthony Richardson sidelined. And yes, I will get to that as well in a little bit. Deontay Foreman, 5 to 8%. So has been inactive since week one. Healthy scratches. But now they're going to have to use him, you know, and it's not only that, like that whole running back room got banged up this week. So they ended up signing Darrington Evans. So he's now on the roster because Travis Homer's also hurt. So anyway, we know what Deontay Foreman is. He is an early down runner. He will work in with Roschon Johnson, but Roschon is clearly the preferred ad. Tajay Spears, why is this dude still available? 5 to 8%, and he's creeping up into flex territory. He is a premium handcuff as well because he has all that implied value with Derrick Henry. But we're at the point where I think, especially during the bye weeks, there are going to be some times where you can use him as a flex option. Zach Charbonnet, 5 to 8%, another guy who probably got filtered over in some leagues because he's still widely available due to the bye week last week. I like how he's been playing. He has that implied value as Kenneth Walker's backup. I don't want to call him a cuff because Kenneth Walker's not cuffable quite for me at this point. But I could see it. If you have enough bench spots, like if you're in a shorter bench spot league, you can't be rostering, you know, handcuffs for all your running backs. But you get 6, 7, 8 bench spots. Yeah, I could see it with Walker because Walker is emerging is pretty darn valuable. So Charbonnet, 5 to 8%. Josh Reynolds, 5 to 8%. Amon-Ra could be back this week. Even if he isn't in regular size leagues, I don't mind stashing Reynolds right now because it could take some time for Jameson Williams. It really could. Dan Campbell said as much that they're going to ramp him up, so it's going to be a while. Rondale Moore. I'm going to go 5 to 8% on Rondale Moore. Initially, I had him at 3 to 5%. I changed that after the James Conner news came out. So if you happen to listen to my SiriusXM show and you're like, gotcha! You said this earlier and now you're saying this! Yes, that's because that was like, I don't know, 5 hours ago and a lot has happened today. So, 5 to 8%. Hybrid, not a wide receiver, a hybrid player. And honestly, feed him the rock on the ground. Dude is really good as a ball carrier. May have some value here with James Conner out. Curtis Samuel, 4 to 7%. Turning it on a little bit. He's kind of pulled even with Jahan Dotson in the pecking order. Back-to-back strong fantasy performances. Quentin Johnston, 4 to 7%. Barely used that first game without Mike Williams. This is one where you're going to tuck him on your bench, not going to use him right now. But ideally, that role will expand as we move forward. Justice Hill, 4 to 7%. Gus Edwards is boring, like low ceiling, but high floor as the lead back. Justice Hill is a lot more exciting, but a lot more volatile. Higher ceiling, but a much lower floor. In that backfield, I'm also going to get to Keaton Mitchell in a minute. Ezekiel Elliott, 4 to 7%. Guess what? We now have a timeshare in the Patriots backfield. Stevenson only out-snapping Zeke by 3 snaps. Stevenson hasn't played particularly well from an efficiency standpoint. Of course, I don't blame you if you want to avoid the Patriots. Rashee Rice, 4 to 7%. I don't think any Chiefs wide receiver is usable yet. Yes, he did score a touchdown last week. He also ran 10 routes. But if I had to place chips on one of these guys, it's him. I am trying to bolster my lineup, especially with all these injuries. Two tight ends here, 4 to 7%, Luke Musgrave and Logan Thomas. In two of his last three, Musgrave has caught six balls. The other game he was concussed. So the role is there. I mean, Jordan Love, it's ugly. Both of these quarterback situations are ugly because Sam Howell isn't much better. But at that position, I'm going after the volume. And that's part of the reason with Logan Thomas coming off an 11-target outing. Obviously put up big fantasy numbers, but it's the volume that I'm chasing. Now, granted, there is some volatility with him. Keaton Mitchell, 3 to 5%. Honestly, the more I look at it, you know, I always push back against these undersized players because historically in the NFL, these guys are the guys who are used as passing down options, but that's not happening this year. Achan, McLaughlin, now Mitchell, could he be the next man up? I don't know, but I'll take 3 to 5% and toss it at him and see what happens. Chris Brooks, 3 to 5%. Do you know who Chris Brooks is? I don't blame you if you don't, but he is on the Miami Dolphins, undrafted rookie free agent out of BYU. He is not Devon Achane. He is, in fact, very polar opposite. He's very athletic, but he doesn't have the speed of those guys. Bigger body kid, and yet he's going to have an opportunity here on this depth chart. I think it's worth snagging him. And notice, like, most people don't know who he is, and I'm at 3 to 5%. I'm not at 1 to 3%. So worth snagging him here if your waiver wire is picked over. Tony Jones, who? 3 to 5%. Obviously, he's now on the Cardinals, and he may be the number two for a little while here with James Conner out. Chuba Hubbard, 3 to 5%. Not playing particularly good football, but, you know, with Miles Sanders seemingly unable to get healthy, I guess beggars can't be choosers in deeper leagues at this point. Jonnu Smith, 3 to 5%. Kyle Pitts is still the lead tight end. This is not a knock on him. It's more a knock on their wide receivers. Like, they have Drake London and nobody else. So I think that Atlanta can sustain London, Pitts, and Jonnu Smith. And Jonnu Smith has 21 catches for 246 over his last four. Solid. Not spectacular, but rock solid. Kendrick Bourne, 3 to 5%. The Patriots are banged up at wide receiver. Juju's in concussion protocol. I don't blame you if you want to pass on a Patriots wideout, but there is a chance for a decent workload. Chig Okonkwo, 3 to 5%, man, coming in with 9 targets this past week. If that volume continues, we could be looking for an uptick here for Chig. However, this is kind of merry-go-round, right? Pick up the tight end this week, drop him next week, pick him up the week after, drop him the week after that. That sometimes happens with these guys. Dalton Schultz, 3 to 5%. Don't fall in love with his fantasy numbers. It happened with Robert Woods banged up, with Tank Dell in concussion protocol, but Dalton Schultz is worth a look. A couple quarterbacks in one quarterback league, Sam Howell, Matthew Stafford, 3 to 5%. Howell has the higher ceiling. Stafford, certainly the higher floor, especially now with Cooper Kupp back. Jonathan Mingo, 1 to 3%. Honestly, he's had five plus targets in all four games. He's a stash in deeper leagues. Kendre Miller, 1 to 3%. Actually, really liked how he played this last week. Deeper option. And honestly, he could end up being ahead of Jamal Williams when it's all said and done, when Williams comes back from injured reserve. But for now, just deeper leagues. I'm just trying to pad those benches. Gardner Minshew. Okay, I don't think he is worth adding in a one quarterback league. However, in a super flex, he is right up there with the top guys on waivers this week. 25 to 50% on him. I am pushing in if I have Anthony Richardson. I still don't have a timetable for Anthony Richardson, but I know that I am screwed if I have Anthony Richardson. I don't have much else there. So I'd be going after Gardner Minshew in that format. I mean, he's not bad. He's certainly worthy of Superflex consideration. Bryce Young, 1 to 3%. I'd go 10 to 20% in Superflex if he's available. It wasn't pretty, but he's trending up. Trent Irwin, 1% in deeper leagues. He saw 10 targets with T. Higgins out, and if Higgins misses time, Irwin could see another decent workload. Kyler Murray, I think you could pick him up in deeper one quarterback leagues at 1%, 5 to 10% in Superflex. No, he's not returning this week. This is getting out ahead of your opponents. Because as we see, like with Richardson, if you lose a quarterback in a super flex, the waiver wire is going to be super thin. And that's why I'm recommending to Tyrod Taylor and Billy Zappi, just 1% to 5% on these guys. Taylor may not start. Daniel Jones could play this week, so it could be a wasted pick. Billy Zappi, I don't think he starts this week, but you know, eventually they may be forced to make a move away from Mac Jones. We're coming off of two of the worst games in Bill Belichick's coaching career in the last 2 weeks. Okay, let's go to defense for the week. If you have any of the following defenses, you don't need to make a move. The Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the 49ers, and the Dolphins. They're all in good spots, and they are very good defenses. So, well, maybe not the Dolphins as much, but they're in a very good spot. And the reason why I put them on the list is because they were widely streamed last week. They will be in streamer territory again this week. These defenses, though, do not need to be rostered. Cleveland, if you for some reason carried them through their bye, they get San Francisco this week. No, thank you. Dallas, I recommended dropping them last week. I'm going to stick to that this week. They have another tough matchup against the Chargers. And then New Orleans, if you happen to roster them last week, they could be tossed back this week with a tough matchup on the table. Streamers for me, I have four of them. Detroit, they've been really good over the last 3 weeks. 13 sacks, 4 interceptions. They face Tampa as well. Baker Mayfield, let's pick on him. Atlanta, they're facing Washington. This is just straightforward sacks. Almost 6 sacks per game, 2 giveaways per game from the Washington Commanders. You got a really nice floor with Atlanta this week. The Raiders, they just had 3 interceptions on Monday night, and now they face Mac Jones. Little Hoodie McJr. revenge game there. I'm going after the Raiders. Who would have thought that? And then Kansas City, I don't love the defense per se, but this one is a game script play. If the Chiefs get out to a lead, Russ may have to be, you know, he may have to do some of that hero ball playing from behind, and that often leads to takeaways, and that's all that matters for me. So Lions, Falcons, Raiders, Chiefs as our streamers for this week. All right, I'm going to come back tomorrow. We'll dive into rankings for week 6. A lot of moving pieces. So I got to get back to work over there. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.